The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All aboard!
We play. That's what we do. We don't talk, we play. You come to Foxborough, it's going to be snowing, it's going to be cold. Come on in here. You want to say all you want? You want to change the rules? Change them. We still play, and we win. That's what we do. Malcolm, go!
That works on so many levels. All right, everyone. What day is it? September 15th, 2021. Tony, Tyler, back again, the Malcolm Go podcast.
You never thought you'd hear these sweet voices again, did you? We're back, baby.
Yes. Joining us again, all the way from down south, cousin KP.
I'm so white happy
women
to
at?
Be back. The best podcast.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Sixth and third best looking on this group of men. I'm just happy to be here.
We're excited to have you. It's a lot. I mean, a lot to dive into. I mean, since we've last left, I checked today. Last podcast was mid November last year. I had to shut it down because my wife was about to have our third kid. That did happen. Happened on my birthday. Bless my heart. December 4th. Which is my birthday, and now my baby girl's birthday. She is upstairs currently crying. My wife is out with her squad watching Real Housewives.
You're in charge of the whole fam here?
That's it. There's only three. It's a four of us right here. My middle daughter's sick. She was throwing up everywhere. My son's upstairs playing Mario. He's up way too late, as per usual. And
have you gotten a vasectomy yet?
I have gotten a vasectomy. Thanks for asking. did that happen? I think that happened after... Yes, so that did happen after our last podcast. That's something that happened. I've had a vasectomy.
I did like your parenting, right? When you put Sonny upstairs, you just said, hey, listen, you can do whatever you want. Just be good. Literally anything.
He's six. He can basically do anything. Yeah. Now. He's like, you know.
Yeah, but he's already broken you.
Yeah. In the South, that's a man.
He is. I would give him a chainsaw right now. So anyway, so what's happened to me since then? So I had to shut it down. There was just way too much shit going on. Obviously, we were in the midst of a pandemic. I had two little kids at home doing online school. My wife was homicidal. I was going to work every single day, and I had to shut it down. Plus, the Patriots stunk, so that didn't help either. It didn't bring me much energy week to week to be like, Cam can't throw. Cam can't throw.
All right.
Or run.
We could just dive into it. Yeah. I wasn't all that upset with Cam starting the season.
I wasn't
You're
either.
I wasn't angry about it.
Well, there's so many. Before we dive, yeah, I mean, we can start with Cam. I mean, Cam.
We have to.
Yeah, let's start with Cam. I mean, I had nothing prepared. Let's face it. So anyway, it was like I liked him. He was fine. He looks like a football player. He looks like a guy you want on your football team.
The team liked him.
Yeah, of course you liked him. He's an aces guy, I'm sure, hanging out.
Anybody that looks like that in a long sleeve t-shirt, I like. Yeah. Immediately, I blocked him. He's
for more than
team.
Just football reasons.
He was standing next to Mac Jones during a preseason game. I was like, this guy, they're both quarterbacks. And somebody posted like a meme. I'm sure it went around everywhere. It was like the picture of Cam Newton shirtless, screaming with his six-pack bulging. And they were like, and there was a picture next to Fat Mac Jones. They were like, one of these guys is a starting quarterback in the NFL, and the other one is unemployed. It's insane.
And I also thought the team is, you know, is good enough where – you know, you start Cam, like,
who's gonna
I don't
help.
Necessarily think, I think they could have easily won that game with Cam, because they should have won that game.
They should have won that game,
no,
but it wasn't
no matter
the quarterback's
who's quarterback.
Issue.
Yeah, so it's like, that's why I wasn't really going to be mad about Cam. I would have been mad. I really thought Cam was just going to play, like, just well enough to, like, make it difficult to yank him. That was my thoughts going into the season. Like, and then you see Mac, you're like, wow, he really is just 1,000 times
yeah,
better.
Yeah, he's 1,000
like,
times
thank
better.
Thank God.
He literally
SEC.
Looks...
It's all about the SEC. The man played in the SEC. He's a Southern guy. He's
just means more down there. Just means more.
He's had a DUI or two. He's hardened. He's been in the drunk tank at least once. The guy's ready. Cam Newton hasn't.
I love a DUI. Anybody, if you haven't had a DUI, I don't know what you've been doing with your life.
That's just a fact. And Cam was a vegan.
They hand those out in Jacksonville. It must be hard to get a DUI in Jacksonville. I would assume it's. That's normal driving around.
Yeah. Well, strong indicators when your shotgun's out the driver's side window. Like, you mind just doing? Just put that away. You'd be fine. But
and I don't know. And then they tortured poor Cam for being anti-vax or not getting a vaccine, which, whatever. He had COVID less than a year ago, and they're still treating him like he's not a lot immune to it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's very difficult to get COVID. Twice
again, anybody that looks like that is immune to many things, things.
Also, yeah, none of these like players are getting sick,
no,
and they're all getting COVID
except for one guy from the Bills who was like 600 pounds. He's like, couldn't breathe, I was ready to die, but he was a lineman
anyway.
They did say exactly. Tatum was a little fucked up, he said he was, but you really don't hear much.
I think they say a lot about their brains, like. I don't know. That's what Cam said. He was like in a fog for a while. I had COVID. Another thing that happened since we've last spoken. I had COVID in March, was on death's door. And let's face it, I'm not the fittest of men. But anyway.
The Lacontes aren't built for many diseases.
No, I can't. There's something to be said about me and my family, whereas I have a decent immune system. I rarely get sick. But when I do get sick, say every 6 or 7 years, it's bordering on putting me in a casket every single time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's partly me just being a pussy because I'm not used to being sick, but
for sure.
Yeah. So when I was in like fourth grade, I got the flu really bad. 2 weeks I was out of school and I couldn't walk. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a baby and my mom had to like carry me around, but COVID knocked me out a solid 13 days, 105 degree temperature, couldn't move. And I was ready to go to the hospital on a Friday. The Saturday was my son's 6th birthday, and then Sunday was Easter, and I was like, I just gotta get it through one night. And I stayed up on Friday night. I thought I was gonna fall asleep, and I was watching documentary after documentary, and all of a sudden, like at fucking, this is like the 13th day of being sick, and I just, you know, it was like 12 o'clock, and all of a sudden, I just like, I felt my fever like break. And I've never felt that feeling before.
I mean,
and I was like, "Am I better?" And then the next day, I was a little bit better. On
this
my son's
sounds
birthday.
A lot like, you know, the story of Jesus.
It is really.
Good Friday.
All of a sudden, I can walk on my tub water and my urine.
Everyone thought you were dead. You pushed that rock aside, and then
here
Sunday,
I am.
Sunday, you were blessing
Sunday
the family
on that's funny. You say that. It was Good Friday,
and you blessed the family with food on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, and you thought
I didn't
he was
even
a
think
podcast
about that.
Host.
I didn't even think about that.
Could be our Lord and Savior.
Yeah. So what happened? What happened to you, Ty? Since we last spoke, anything good?
I got nothing. I'm
you're a homeowner now.
Soon to be.
Well, it's not in. It's not. It's not 100%.
Oh, I haven't moved in yet. I haven't passed papers.
Yeah, but they accepted your offer.
Yeah, I don't know how much that means.
Eh, we'll see. Once they run that credit report.
Oh, yeah.
That's what really hurts.
Do you think mortgage companies listen to podcasts?
No, I doubt it.
Not
mine, anyway. Nobody listens to this one.
My entire application was a fraud.
No. But what's your annual income? Nah, give or take 70, 75 to 250, around there.
I thought you. I thought I was just telling. This is what I tell strangers I make. I didn't know you wanted the real number.
I tell my friends that I'm jealous of that I make this amount. So we know that since then, Tom Brady took his fucking. He dragged Bruce Arians' red fat ass to a Super Bowl victory.
I mean, that was
nothing. That was the most unbelievable run of all time. I don't care who's on his team. I don't care how much talent's on that team. Bruce Arians is a bum and didn't call one play. There's no way that guy called me.
He wears that crazy mic pack on his chest. Like he's like, it literally looks like he's an AM DJ. I don't know what he does, but it looks like almost like a 1980s. One of those keyboards you would put on your chest. That's what it looks like Bruce Arians has on his chest.
He's got the red cheeks like the drunk uncle. You know?
Yeah, and he just looks like he doesn't know what's going on. I swear to God, there's like QAnon. You know how QAnon people like think everyone's a stand-in? I think Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich are stand-ins. They're not really them. They're snake people. They're lizard men that wear Buccaneers, windbreakers.
It doesn't make any sense. Tom Brady doesn't make any sense.
There was a play in the first game where, like, it's beyond fact at this point. Like, halfway through the year when they were playing the Chiefs, they were getting blown out, right, in the game. And then I think Tom Brady shut off his headphones because he literally, they just turned to the Patriots offense right then and there. He was like, fuck this. I'm dumping off to running backs. I'm going to throw it long when I want to. I'm going to pick my spots and just have these dominant receivers and tight ends and do whatever I want. You guys aren't calling shit anymore from here on out. And they were like, oh, my God. Tony Romo even said it during the game. He's like, Tom Brady just changed the offense. This is different now. And it's never gone back to that. He just does whatever he wants. And in this last game, Byron Leftwich called a play, and he just looked at him like disgusted. Tom looked at him like, we're not doing that. Just stop talking to me through my headphones. You're literally fucking like just white noise at this point.
It does raise the question, if Jameis just stopped doing what Arian said, how many Super Bowls would that guy have?
I don't know. He beat the Packers by 40 on Sunday.
He would have unlimited Super Bowls. He's also
38. What do you have? They won 38-3 or something against Green Bay.
Aaron Rodgers looks like a pissed off 60-year-old housewife. That guy.
But not even that. The Saints played in Florida, not even home, in some random place. They have no idea. Their whole entire, like, their practice field, their stadium was torn up by another hurricane. They moved like a week ago to some random place in Florida and just beat the Green Bay Packers, who were in the NFC Championship last year, by like 40.
How many MVPs, how many quarterbacks is they're better than? Is he just going to keep outliving?
Like, I don't know. He's on to like the third generation of quarterbacks he's beating. Like, you know what I mean? He was beating in like 2001. Okay, him and Peyton Manning were like a year apart, right? But he was beating
Kurt Warner,
MVP. Obviously, was there. I think Aikman was still playing.
It was Aikman. Aikman was still there.
I might be wrong. Aikman might have had another year or two left in him.
And then Bledsoe went down there, right?
Right. Okay. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy that won in the 90s. I mean, Testaverde was on the Browns in the early 90s. He was good, obviously. Kerry Collins. Who else was good in the 90s that was still playing? Brunel. He was punking all these dudes.
Brunel got, he probably might be Rich up there Gannon. For getting it the worst. Because they used to just whack.
Steve Young, was Steve Young still playing?
No way. There's no way.
I don't know. Steve Young, he won the Super Bowl against the Chargers in like 97, I want to say. Maybe 97, something like that. Or 95. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't playing anymore. But
must have been 95.
I know Jim Kelly was gone. Marino was gone like a year before both of those guys. So Marino and Elway went out in like 99. I think Aikman hung around another year or two.
He played with Peyton the whole time, and he's still playing.
He played against Peyton. If Tom Brady didn't exist, Peyton Manning would have 11 Super Bowls right now.
No, it wouldn't even 11. Be
12. There was nobody could beat him.
It's just insane to think about.
They would just run the score up on people and then either choke against the Patriots most of the time or a game before they played the Patriots because they were scared.
The man's 44. I saw a video. This is no bullshit. A video of him talking in high school before the MLB draft because he's such a fucking athlete.
I know.
And he looks better now than he did then physically.
He's way more mature in that picture than that video than I am now. They were asking me, they were like, what are you good at in sports? He's like, well, my arm's pretty good. I'm a pretty good thrower of the ball. I'm pretty accurate, you know. I would have been over there fucking slurring my speech, not looking anybody in the eye.
Are you kidding me, dude? No one can fucking stop this. What am I good at?
Oh,
everything.
I would have been talking to him like the fucking Rock in 97. You don't know. Just screaming at him, trying to be a character like I do all the time. I don't know how a person is like that. That's probably why he's a success at everything he does. But, yeah. So
he's a robot.
He dragged fucking Arian's bum ass. The defense was like the worst defense in the league the year before. All of a sudden, they're great.
They're great.
They're so good. The one thing I like is that he's just taking bum coaches that he fucking destroyed. Like, coaches and players. What's his face? Byron Leftwich was drafted, played his whole career, retired, became a coach long enough to become a coordinator, and then is now Tom Brady's coordinator, all within the span of Tom Brady continuing to play.
All Tom Brady did when he left the Patriots, look at a map, said, ask Giselle, where do you want to live? She said, Tampa. He said, fuck it, let's go. Then he called Gronk. Gronk, come down here. You can play with me. And then Gronk, of course, was awesome in the Super Bowl, which I didn't enjoy.
That did hurt me. And now he just seems to be getting better. He had two more touchdowns the other day, which is 100 on his career from Brady, which is insane. Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison had 114, which is the record. I don't see how they can't break the record now. I mean, they might not do it this year. I mean, I don't think he's going to score 14 touchdowns this year. But, I mean,
I don't know.
If they play another year together... Definitely, you're going to.
Mac Jones. I need to talk about.
Oh,
Mac
yeah,
Jones
of course. We got the Patriots draft class. So first of all, they're fucking free agents that they went on a free agent spree. So we sat there, and every single year, you know, maybe once every 5 years, Belichick will give you what you want. Like, oh shit, you know, or maybe not even what you want. I mean, a few years ago, we were like, oh, we got a number one corner. We're great. We don't need a corner. And then he goes out and signs the richest cornerback deal on the market and gets Gilmore. But 10 years before that, he does, we had a decent defense. He went out and got Roosevelt Colvin, top of the market.
Darius Thomas.
Darius Thomas, which was a failure, but...
Can't remember be a bust, but he was a monster.
He was huge for the Ravens, which is very much like the Matt Judon, but he seems to be fitting in perfectly.
Oh, Matt Judon, bro. Oh, Matt Judon is going to be a legend. An absolute Patriot legend.
The hit he put on Tua, which didn't count, well, it counted, but it wasn't a sack, was one of the most violent legal hits I've ever seen on an NFL football field.
It was so violent that I thought it was illegal, and it was the most legal hit.
You always hear about these guys coming out of camp. They're like, oh, this guy looks amazing in camp. He looks amazing in camp. And then you see him, and they're just like the same. Uche is like a new human.
Yeah, I don't know. This is his second year, right? They call it a second year leap. I mean, everyone last year was like, Uche's a freak. He's a freak. Peter King said he was going to be the rookie of the year on defense. Didn't play a ton. I think he got hurt a little bit. And then now I was watching him. He was against the backup tackle, but it might as well have been me playing left tackle on one play.
He was still 300 pounds.
Yeah.
He
ran over him.
I'd never seen someone go backwards that hard.
No, fast. That fast.
Yeah.
I like being hit by a Mack truck. That's as hard as I've seen a man fall backwards that fast. If you were standing on fucking Route 1 South and got hit by a CVS truck, that's what you would look like.
Him on the edge. Patriots hit hard.
Yeah, we need that.
Barrymore, also an abs. That guy is another full-grown grizzly bear.
Tied. He's a big boy. Yeah, he's a big. He's like 6'6". I mean, we can talk about. I mean, let's go with the free agents first. So you got Judon, Jonnu Smith, who I thought was the target from number one. Like Belichick would talk up Jonnu. Jonnu's a stud. Jonnu's a stud. I'm like, who is this guy? And I don't watch the Titans ever, so I didn't know who the fuck he was. So I had to Google him, and I was like, all right, kind of reminds me of a Hernandez type with less murder. And less shower sex, whatever he does. And then
he's a better receiver.
That for sure.
Yeah, that's not true. That's true, too.
He did not have a gay lover.
Well, you don't know that, again. Not that anything's wrong with it. So I thought he was going to be the guy. And John, who looks like a stud.
No, white girl can fall for
hold on, I want to play the sound real quick. For some reason, nothing plays immediately.
No, white girl can fall for him.
That's my favorite one.
You can see how a white girl can fall for him.
There we go. There we go. So anyway, so you got Jonnu, and I'm thinking, all right, we got it. We got a tight end. We got a tight end finally that can play. And then 2 days later, the next day, he goes out and signs Hunter Henry anyway.
University of Arkansas. Hog. From
he's a hog?
He's a hog.
Right here in Little Rock. Hell yeah, he's a hog.
Isn't his brother's hog. A current tight end, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a brother, and his other brother just won National Defensive Player of the Week for the University of Arkansas, who whooped Texas's ass. And he's going to be a future Patriot as well.
Are we ranked right now, the Hogs?
We're ranked number 18 on ESPN, number 20 in the AP.
Oh my God! Texas is always overrated. And I texted you this the other day. I said Texas, every single year they're in the top 15 and they lose three games immediately.
I couldn't care. I have watched 2 10 loss seasons in 3 years. I sat there and watched Arkansas lose to San Jose State at home. We deserve to be ranked. We deserve it. The fans deserve it. This whole state. If they beat Texas A&M in 2 weeks, the state will blow up. But anyways,
I didn't know. When was the last time Arkansas was ranked?
I mean, they were ranked a couple of years ago.
It would have been 2015.
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't ranked that long ago.
6 years ago.
I mean, Cuse was ranked more recently than that. Cuse got snuck into the top 10 like 3 years ago. Recently just lost to Rutgers.
That was a fluke. Anyways.
No, it was a great year for us.
Hunter Henry looked good this week, too, for a man that has been hurt.
Yep. I mean, they just really went out and just took whatever they want. I really like Jalen Mills. I don't think he's an outside corner, but I think he's a perfect Patriot. He'll run around the field, play safety.
He has green hair. You can't forget
and
green hair.
Actually, I mean, I loved the Bourne signing. Didn't know a lot about him. I wanted him to get Curtis Samuel as their one receiver they get. And then they get Bourne, and I looked him up, and he's very Patriot-esque. And then they signed Aguilar, which was the only one that was kind of head-scratching to me. I was like, this guy will never make it. He's never going to be good.
They
here.
Gave him a lot of money.
That was a lot of the thing. Was that like, didn't they give him like $7 million a year or something? Yep. That
he was the highest paid.
Yeah, and they were like, they could have had other guys cheaper, but they wanted Aguilar. And I was like, all right. And then all through training camp, he's just dropping balls. Well, everyone was. It was like every single day was this guy dropped it, this guy dropped it. More drops than I've ever heard. And then in game one, Aguilar's the best player on the field. I'm like, all right, this guy gets it immediately. I love it.
The second best player on the field.
Besides my boy Mac.
One more and the big boy, right tackle.
Wait, can we?
Oh, and then we got Trent back. And Van Noy back.
Yeah. Everyone came back. You need to tell everyone about the dumbass bet you made me.
I will tell you about the dumbass bet. Well, because it brought me back into the... all right. So, whatever it was. It was like early August or July. Nikhil Harry...
A month after Nikhil Harry said he didn't want to play for the Patriots anymore.
Yeah, and I went and I had a little a hissy fit. I whined a little bit and I added him on Twitter a few times. He was wearing like Patriots shorts. I was like, take those off. You don't deserve to wear the logo. I got after him a little bit. And then, me and KP, we were like telling him how, we were talking to each other. He's like, he sucks anyway. Fuck him. I was in because I can't give up on a guy 2 years into his career, especially if they're the number one pick. I'm still defending Sony Michel, who they traded.
This is Sony Michel podcast. I thought we were going to start with Sony. I don't know why we didn't.
This is very much a pro-Sony podcast.
Because we're hurt.
I think there's a little bit of it, like if you watch the game, if Sony split carries with Harris, Harris would have had...
Doesn't tire.
The same amount of yards. He just would have had more of them in the fourth quarter.
Doesn't tire, doesn't fumble at the end.
I think JJ Taylor being inactive was poor. I didn't enjoy that.
I didn't understand that one.
Well, how many running backs can they add?
Well, they had Bolden there because he's special teams.
Ramondre carries the ball like it's covered in butter. Anyways, tell your bet that you because you're
I'm going to. So whatever, he gets into it, and I get pissed off, and then a month goes by. I'm like, that's weird. Like, because Belichick's not going to be bossed around, right? He's not going to have some fucking agent I've never heard of. It wasn't even like it was Rosenhaus. But first of all, when's the last time you saw someone ask for a trade? Randy Moss? Is he the only one? Like, I don't even know if he did it. I think he just whined about money.
No, and I think he stopped running the routes, and they're like, all right.
Yeah, he was like, gave up,
he
basically.
Didn't go across the middle for like a solid 14 games.
In 2010, he was like, I'm done. Like, I'm getting paid like $3 million.
He ran three routes. He ran like
to be the best receiver of all time. Yeah, you're giving me $2 million.
Yeah,
he ran a fade, he ran a sideline, then he ran like a 20-yard in.
Yeah, he stopped I think they made him inactive a game. Awesome. He got like, he played some team, and he was like, shut out completely, like by a guy that was no like an average corner at the time. And I was like, this is terrible. And then they traded him like a week later. He like whined. He said he wasn't going to answer any questions, and he'd just give the he's going to answer his own questions. And then they traded him that night. And so that was the last time I really remember somebody saying something like that. And then this guy hasn't done anything in the league.
Well, you get those guys like that idiot Cassius Marsh.
Yeah, he's a bum. But that he didn't ask for a trade. He was just shitty.
Yeah, he just sucked.
He sucked. Right. So N'Keal Harry was drafted in the first round 2 years ago. You know, got hurt his first year. Brady wouldn't throw to him. Hold on. 1 second. What do you want? Be quiet, though.
You don't get this on every podcast.
No, not every podcast has a six-year-old that's up at 9:30.
Absolutely not.
No, so he's going to, whatever, he's going to play his Mario and he's going to enjoy himself. So we were, so now I lost my train of thought. That fucks me all up.
Who's been traded?
So anyway.
Yeah, we're talking about N'Keal Harry. Go fuck your mother. The man that can't catch or get open.
Yeah, so he couldn't get open, couldn't catch. And then in training camp, they say he's the best player in the field. Tearing it up, making unbelievable catches, looks quicker off the line, he's beating people. And I want to quit him, and I'm dragged back in. And I watch it, and then I'm watching all the pick, you know, the videos that the media puts out. And he's getting open. He's beating our corners, not Gilmore. He's beating our corners, Jackson, all these guys, for outs, for touchdowns. Mac Jones. The thing about it was Mac Jones had, you know, vibed with him. You know what I mean? It wasn't like Cam who would throw it into his cleats. Like, it was fucking Mac Jones was hitting him in the chest for touchdowns. And I was like, all right, I'm back in. I'm fucking back in. And then so I bet KP. I said, you know what, KP? I bet he's going to have a touchdown. You know, I said he's going to have eight touchdowns this year.
Eight?
And, yeah, but that wasn't the bet. And then, so.
I would have jumped on that bet.
Yeah, but I said he's going to have eight touchdowns, and you said he won't have a touchdown for the first 3 weeks. I said, I guarantee you he'll have a touchdown the first 3 weeks. And then, so that was the bet. So he said, all right, if he has a touchdown the first 3 weeks, which we had to amend to his first three games, I got to buy, he's going to buy me a jersey, and I got to buy him a Mac Jones jersey if he doesn't. Which he's going to, because when he comes back, he already posted an Instagram today in his uni. He's ready to go.
His first three games or the first 3 weeks?
No, his first three games.
His,
we had to amend it.
His first three games.
Yeah. So that
I think he's going to have a touchdown.
He can't be healthy. He can't be healthy.
He's a touchdown machine.
I mean, look, he looked good in preseason, not as explosive as in training camp. But then he did that stupid fucking dive. Because I think he's got a little bit of that, like, Chris Carter in him where he has to, like, make every fucking catch look like it's a fucking act of God, you know what I mean? Like, or like, what's his name? Brandon Lloyd used to do the same shit. Like, dive when you don't have to dive and all that nonsense.
I do. This is kind of a sidebar, but in a few of those videos, he was beating Joquan Williams. I don't think Joquan Williams has covered anyone his entire career.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I think that it's rarely brought up, but he was drafted in the second round early. And he stinks. He's not good.
And
out loud. Why was he? He today he was like the main guy for media availability before Mac Jones. That's just really irritating.
I think that they just throw whoever they want
on Sunday.
They don't have much depth with Gilmore
they have
out.
No one.
Who's left?
So that was the only thing about the Harry thing. That and I'm starting to like the Patriots like put out like. Hey, like, this guy's great. This guy's awesome. So other teams look at it and like, wow, let's see if we can go after this Harry guy. Maybe trade him. Like,
I think everybody does that.
I know. So is there that level maybe of like, that he's awesome and then just to trade him?
No, I think this one is maybe Belichick's like forcing it almost. You know what I mean? Because I think that everyone says that a lot of the scuttlebutt around town was that everybody, like every scout wanted A.J. Brown. Who would have been a perfect Patriot, in my opinion.
Diehard Patriot fan growing up.
He was a Patriot fan growing up, exactly. Interviewed at the stadium, all this crap. And then Belichick was like, fuck it. And he picked N'Keal Harry himself. So, like, I think a part of it is that he's like, I want you to be...
Just to like, prove it to everyone?
Yeah, to prove that he's, like, he knows a little bit of what he's doing at wide receiver. When, clearly, he really... I mean, I don't know. The last hit they've had on a wide receiver was Edelman. So who else?
That was an accident.
It was an accident. I mean, they didn't even know what he was going to play. So,
Can we go back to Scuttlebutt around the town and talk about Asante Samuel and how that guy...
Around the town. He's fucking in some slum, I hope. I hope he lost all his money that he got fucking
Asante
paid.
Asante is just...
He's a loudmouth idiot.
Yeah, he's just out of his mind.
Like, it's one thing to have an opinion, but... And I guarantee you, I was like, ESPN, when I saw him on that, I was like, they're going to give him a show. They'll give him a show just because he smashes Belichick constantly. You know what I mean? That's all he says is, like, he talks about Belichick. He literally, if Belichick didn't draft him in the fourth round, like, nobody knew who fucking Asante Samuel was. He became an all-pro cornerback without tackling. Never had to tackle in his whole career, basically. Just showed up here and would jump routes, never tackled, and then he would fucking... Basically didn't go undefeated because a ball went through his hands.
That was another thing he said. He said, we had a perfect season when Brady was here, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well,
you blew it.
We almost had a perfect season, except you dropped the ball, you idiot. Like, how can you even say that with a straight, like, oh,
no,
we had a perfect
season.
It's his
fault. And then he's got a tattoo on his arm that says, get paid. And I was like, oh, we can't lose Asante. And then I heard that. I was like, oh, he's got a tattoo that says, get paid. I was like, all right, that's it. He's gone. And then, whatever, that's fine. You know, you lose players every year. And he fucking goes to Philly, gets paid. Then he goes back. Then he goes to Atlanta, gets paid more. And
record
stinks.
Money.
He stunk. He wasn't even good when he left. He was, you know, he had to be used right. And he didn't, you know, once he got money, he didn't give a shit about anything.
He had one coverage.
It was jump a route or fucking get, not tackle. Wait for Rodney Harrison to come. Because I'm not jumping at anybody.
Or Brandon Mayweather. Or Merriweather.
He had a similar, like post careers like Malcolm Butler.
What do you mean? Malcolm.
Like, after he left the Patriots.
Yeah, exactly. He was very similar to that.
He was fine. Like, Malcolm Butler, you wouldn't be like, oh, this
Except
guy's terrible.
Except Malcolm Butler made the catch when he needed to win the Super
that's
Bowl.
True.
That guy
he did make the catch.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, and he wasn't fucking... And he doesn't whine after it. He doesn't say Belichick's a bad guy or a bad coach. It's all Tom Brady. It wasn't Belichick. Fucking, if it wasn't for Bill Belichick, he would be fucking at 7-Eleven. There was no
way he would be making sandwiches somewhere. That guy, I mean, it's,
he was a good corner in New England. He was an average corner in Philadelphia and garbage at anywhere else. I think he went to Atlanta, maybe somewhere else.
Tony.
They let him fucking have a conversation on ESPN because he played for Belichick 20 years ago. It's an unpopular opinion.
Wait, you missed something that happened between the last pod and this pod, I think.
I missed a lot. I haven't gone through everything yet.
You were one tweet away from Tom Brady retweeting you at one point. Do you remember that?
No.
Weren't you tweeting with, I forget who it was, and they kept adding, they were adding Tom. Y'all were talking about Tom. I thought it was Martellus Bennett, but maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, it was Martellus Bennett. Yeah, I was. Yeah, but I don't think that he would have retweeted me. Martellus Bennett is a bit of a loudmouth himself. So he was, I don't know. Oh, it was after they won the Super Bowl, and I said, he's the greatest winner of all time. And I think fucking Martellus Bennett said, nah, Bill Russell is. I don't even think I started with him, but that seems wrong. There's no way that Martellus Bennett just saw my tweet. I probably went at him. And
he could follow you.
Not only he follows me, but like maybe he saw my tweet. But whatever, we had a little conversation, and I was like, "What are you talking about?" Like he literally got you a Super Bowl ring. You know how hard it is. Fucking Bill Russell played in a league with four teams. I pulled up a picture of like one of the teams they played or lost to. Sorry, it was a team they lost to, the Celtics in like the '60s. It was like Kansas City, fucking Monarchs, some team that never. It's not Monarchs. Some the Kansas City. Fucking something like that. Kings. It was a team that doesn't exist, obviously, anymore. And it was not, they looked like fucking nine Albert Einsteins. And you never see, not one black guy amongst them. There were 6'1" to 6'2" white guys. And I was like, they lost to this team. And you're going to sit here and tell me that he's a better champion than Tom Brady is playing current day football at 44. I mean, I understand that football's changed a bit, but he also played in the era when you could get hit in the fucking throat and the knees anywhere.
That hit he took against the Bills would actually be in a wheelchair.
That was like, in the preseason.
Yeah.
That was in the preseason that hit he took from them. They were just like, that's fine, get up. And it's funny you're saying that now because that was, what's his name? He's fucking old as shit. I mean, he played for the Bills for like 45 years. Nate Clements, maybe I want to say his name was. And anyway, he was, he like decapitated Brady, lost his helmet. Brady gets up and starts clapping. So anyway, yeah. And then I was watching a video today. I just got into a hole It was on Instagram, and they had LeVar Arrington like highlights on when he played at Penn State. And I remember so clearly him being so dominant, but I didn't know Tom Brady at the time. So I was just watching. I would watch Penn State games because he was like two-time All-American, all this shit. He was like destined to be a top three pick, and was this guy's unbelievable. And so I was watching all these hits, and he was just, you know, he dove over the line and like met the running back somehow. It was like fucking, like, you know how like Troy Polamalu did that to like block kicks? Yeah. He did this on a run up the middle. I don't even know how he did it. It was like a perfect storm. The Ohio State guy handed it off to the running back, and he just comes right up the A-gap, and LeVar Arrington has been in the air for like 5 seconds. Wait, it was a targeting. It was like something from Varsity Blues. Like, you'd never see it in real life, and it's 100% he wouldn't play at college football anymore, the hit. And they would just kick him out of the college, probably, not even in football. Just, he wouldn't let him go to school anymore either. So
there was like old Ronnie Lott videos that were showing up, and like, when safeties, like, when the ball would, like, the receiver would, like, tip off his hands, and then the receiver would come in and lay them out. It was like he obviously dropped it, and then you waited two beats and still just smoked him for even attempting to catch
the ball. That's
what
they used to teach us in Pop Warner. Like, if he touched it, you can fucking kill him. Literally put your helmet into his spinal cord and separate it.
The crown of the helmet.
So anyway, there was a video of him playing in the Big Ten, obviously, and then there's one video, I was like, oh my God, is that Brady? And it's fucking Brady, and like vintage Brady. He's like going around the pocket. You know, the pocket's kind of collapsed around him. He steps up, and at the last second, he sees a guy like does that finger point where he's like pointing at somewhere to go, and a fucking bullet comes out of nowhere and put his helmet right into Tom's throat. I'm like, holy shit. That might have been the hardest I've ever seen anybody hit. And it was Tom Brady. He gets, I mean, he 100% had to have a concussion. I'm talking 4-1 speed at 260, whatever LeVar Arrington was, hit Tom Brady directly in the throat with the crown of his helmet. I'm like, this is just a different time. That is so foreign to anybody that's ever seen, that like started watching football like since 2010.
And Brady had that speech, it was only like a couple weeks ago that came out, where he was basically saying like, you know, when I came up, if you made a mistake, the defense punished you. So you learn to protect your guys, protect your receivers based on that. He goes, now the defense has to protect themselves. Your mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like you don't learn how to play the game the right way.
He's like, he's not nervous to throw into any coverage.
I've been trying to say that for 10 years, and he summed it up in 45 seconds. I was like, oh, that's...
He's very smart. And it's funny because that was literally how the dynasty started, right? It was like, it was Brian Cox decapitating Jerome Pathon in 2001. Peyton Manning made like a throw to the middle, like a little slant, and Brian Cox hit him directly in the face, and I think he was knocked out cold, like, literally on the field squirming, legs going like toothpicks, kicking, and that was like, oh God, this defense is a problem. And it just got like that, like trickled into the, like through the NFL, like they were like, this team is gonna fucking hit you in the face and punish you if you make a mistake. And that's literally what happened. They just punished people for the rest of the season, all the way through the Super Bowl, beating St. Louis.
I have a great segue for you.
Thank you.
You're interested.
It wasn't. Okay. I love it.
We
I thought
can
you just
segue by talking about Mac Jones's quote today and how it compares exactly to who Tom Brady was for 20 years as a Patriot.
It is. I'm so hesitant to even think about making that comparison until he's won at least 7 Super Bowls. But I it's hard not to see how he plays. The things for me that have to happen is, like, obviously I think Tom Brady would have won that game, even in 2001, but only, I mean, there's nothing Matt could do about it. You know what I mean? In those old days, that would have been a little bit more complimentary football. Harris probably wouldn't have fumbled. I mean, if that was Antoine Smith, he wasn't going to fumble. If that was Corey Dillon, he wasn't going to fumble.
Four times. They have 4 of them.
You don't know where that holding call came from when he got the ball down to the one. It was going to be first and goal from the one.
Yeah, right.
Or he might have been in the end zone, and they called a
made
holding.
Up.
They had a bunch of fucking bad mistakes. Just they played bad football, but again, this is their 4th game. You know what I mean? The 3 preseason games. This is their first game with Mac. You know, everyone's a little rusty.
They didn't let him throw it. They didn't let him like throw it down the field. Like, that's what he did at Alabama.
I expected that though. They're not going to fight. They did the same thing with Brady. I mean, that quarter, they did let him throw. I mean, that is literally, if you go back to a 2001 Patriots game where Brady's playing. If you looked at those two games side by side, you'd be like, wow, they're letting Mac Jones throw way too much. Because Tom Brady handed it off 75 times a game.
You know Flores blitzed a lot.
Go ahead. even then, like, we were down by one and we're running it up the middle. I get it. I'm at yard kicker. I'm at Nick Falk. Fred's the most automatic man on earth.
I don't know. He's better than Vinatieri and Gostkowski combined. His fat stomach. I do like how they just kept that kicker that was terrible. And they're like, you can stay on the team. And then just didn't play him. They just brought Nick Falk up instead. Like, was he really at risk of, like, being poached by someone? I don't know.
No, there's, like, COVID rules where you can, like, protect certain guys where they
I know, but they let Quinn Nordin make the team. You know what I mean? He's not on the practice squad.
It's got to be a COVID thing. Like, if he gets COVID or something, it has to be. Tyler's right.
There was no way someone could have grabbed Folk. It wasn't like he went to the practice squad.
No,
he
Folk, yes. But Nordin, if you
they're
cut
both,
him.
Like, they're both on the team.
It should be backwards.
They're just going to be inactive. One of them's going to be inactive every game.
Yeah, but I think you can only do that a certain amount of times. You can't bring Folk up 17 games a year from the practice squad. I think you can only do it like 3 or 4 times. Pretty sure.
All the rules changed last year.
I know, but yeah, I think that was the rule. You can revert back to the practice squad, but you can only do it like 3 times, I think.
COVID changed. It just changed everything.
But those rules are way better. Like, IR is only 3 weeks, which is awesome.
Yeah.
That's sick.
You know what I mean? Like, fucking right now, you'd have dead body. Nikhil Harry would be out for the year, or he'd be a useless roster spot right now. Instead, he'll be back in 2 weeks. And then who else? I don't even know who else. But there's
Gilmore.
Gilmore again. Same. Well, he's on POP, so he's out 6 weeks, right? That's a little bit different. But anyway.
With his hip replacement. Yeah. But anyways, back to this week.
I just thought, honestly, I thought they played fine. Like, they didn't finish in the red zone clearly. That was obviously
no. They had what, 3 75-plus yard drives, and all of them were field goals.
Yeah, they. You know, the defense played well. They had 2 bad drives. That was it.
And I didn't expect. I never expect them to come out fucking gangbusters on defense. They never do. They're always like, all right, they get used to it. And, like, I mean, just think about all their good years. I mean, aside from, like, 2004, when was the last first week that their defense was, like, firing on all cylinders? It doesn't happen.
I thought this week they kind of did. They held them to 17 points. Like, they played
17
great.
Points. They didn't get run over, but they couldn't cover a slant to save their lives.
Well, and Waddle dropped 2 touchdowns just toasting Mills.
Yeah, I mean, Waddle. I mean, Waddle is the 5th round pick for a reason. A 5th overall pick for
Waddle's
a reason.
A problem.
And Devontae Parker's really good. I mean, but the tight ends didn't hurt him. Running backs didn't really hurt him. They didn't give up. I looked at the box score. I was like, I don't know how they lost.
The 22 minute time of possession is ridiculous. Pats had the ball the entire game. And
yeah, like 39 minutes to 21, fucking something like that. And it was. I looked at the yards. Tua threw for like. I think he threw for 1 touchdown, right? And like 207 yards and an interception. They ran for like less than 80 and they won. And I was just like,
30
what
of them came on that last drive, probably.
Yeah. And I was like, and I looked at him like, and then Mac threw for 280 and a touchdown, no picks. They only lost because of the fucking, literally lost because of the fumbles. 2 fumbles. One of them was clearly not a fumble.
Well, 3. The Mac Jones.
All right.
First playable game.
I mean, I would have looked. Very similar to that first Mac Jones play.
I don't even know what that was.
I was in a bar. So first of all, if you've been following my Twitter, you knew that I RSVP'd unwittingly to a fucking wedding that...
Whose wedding, by the way?
It was a guy I work with that is like my partner long term that we're going to like basically grow... I say grow up, but I'm 35, so I'm fucking old. But whatever. I said, like, we're going to grow this... company together, basically. I was, you know, we're mildly close in the same age. He's 30, I'm 35. And he had a wedding, and it's in Newport. I was like, oh, sweet, nice wedding. And he's from a well-to-do family because his family had owned this company for 1 billion years. So I was like, oh, it's going to be a sweet wedding. It's going to be in Newport, and we're going to have a great time. Just RSVP, didn't even look at the date. Whatever. You know what? And then the next day, I was like, oh, it's a Sunday? He's like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, it's Memorial Day. I mean, it's Labor Day. No big deal. And then I looked. I was like, it's not Labor Day. It's the week after Labor Day. And I was like, what's it going? I was like, so I have to take Monday off from work? And I was like, wait a second. And part of me was like, oh, that's fine. It's the second week of the season. It doesn't matter. Because I was like, because I thought preseason ends this week. Next week is game 1, which is I'm going to Miami. And then they're going to play the Jets. And then I looked it up. I'm like, wait a second. Why are they skipping a week? Because there used to be just 4 preseason games, game 1.
Which is so what I still don't know why they skipped a week. Why didn't they just move the season up and keep the Super Bowl where it was?
I don't know why they did that.
I didn't know that happened until literally last Saturday. And I was like, wait a second. So does this mean I'm missing the first game? I had no fucking idea. I have no idea. And I was like, well, I'm not going to not go. I debated going to the first half. The wedding was at 5. I was like, I could make at least the first quarter. I could tailgate all day, make the first quarter, and be in Newport in 30.
Oh, you're going to go to the game?
Yeah. I was like, I'm not going to miss the debut of our new quarterback. I was like, I could be in Newport from Gillette, a game that's already going. I could be in Newport in 25 minutes.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
Easy. I would have been fucking in. I would have been in. I might have wore my suit to the wedding. I mean, my suit to the game with a David Andrews jersey over top of it. Had a couple Miller Lights in the stadium, in my seat, where I belong and haven't been for 2 years since Tom Brady threw a pick to Logan Ryan. And then I would have been down in Newport buzzing, baby. I would have fucking, they wouldn't even have known it any better. I would have been there, whatever. Instead, I watched YouTube TV in the fucking the whole time. I just had, the whole time I was in the ceremony and in the reception, the whole cocktail hour, I just had my hand plastered to my phone, and I'm watching. People would come over and be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm not part of this. Just let me watch what I'm doing. This is, like, who had a wedding on the game one?
Also, though, why are the Pats playing the Dolphins at 4 in week one?
I had no idea. Again, if that game was at 1, I was there. I was there for 3 quarters, and then I was heading to Newport.
Yeah.
All day.
I don't know. It was just a strange... It was a fine game. You know, I thought they played well. I didn't...
I was pleasantly surprised by Aguilar. I thought Jonnu was going to have a little bit more production, but...
All right.
Well, he's clearly a main focus of the offense, Jonnu.
He's Mac's favorite guy. Also, like, what it did for me was show me that I am 0% scared of Tua for the next 10 years. If that's
Tua didn't impress me. He was fucking... Even J.C. Jackson, which I thought was a little risque to say, was like, he'll just fucking throw it up. And I was like,
that's what Tua does.
Yeah, he said that's what Tua would do, which I think is the same thing.
I mean, I was in New Hampshire this summer, put a nice little wager in on the Patriots winning the division. And I still think the Patriots are going to win the division.
Yeah, I mean, 17
games.
I'm
more confident.
So I mean, the Bills lost. The Steelers looked good, but the Bills lost.
Steelers did
not. The Jets stink. And Miami is, I mean, fine. I mean, they were good last year, Miami, at the end of the year. People forget. Like, they literally demolished the Patriots in the last week of the season. Demolished. They ran for, like, 300 yards.
Wasn't that week 16? And then they got blown out by 40 to the Bills in week 17 to miss the playoffs.
Patriots did or the Dolphins did?
The Dolphins did.
Oh, I don't know. But I know that the COVID. Dolphins literally ran them over.
The Dolphins killed the Patriots on week 16. And then if they won, they were in the playoffs. They were playing the Bills. They lost by 40. It was like 55-6.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo was good last year. I just don't think that Buffalo is going to be able to keep it up. I hate Sean McDermott's face.
Well, also, last year, Fitzpatrick was the starter. The owner forced Flores to play Tua.
Yeah.
So they had to play Tua. And then, you know, that's just kind of what all you need to know about a quarterback.
I'm going
to
be a little bit odd. I think Flores is making some rash decisions quickly. He, like, signed Kyle Van Noy to whatever it was, like a 3-year big money deal.
And then, never mind.
Yeah, and then, like, literally a year into it, was like, fuck it. No, that doesn't make sense. And then just cut him and then still had to pay him, like, all his guaranteed money. Instead, they kept Landon Roberts.
Do you like Landon Roberts?
I like him too, but I mean, let's face it.
I mean, do you like him that much? That guy's, I mean, he's all right.
He's a run-of-the-mill, straight-line middle linebacker. He's going to give you a good hit every now and again, but if you run a fucking a sweep, he's never going to know that that's happening.
Here is something I did learn this summer after looking at all these deals, because you see deals like, oh, Hunter Henry's going to make like $490 million over 4 years. It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's actually going to make $12 million, and the rest of it
$12 million total, and
something they can just put on ESPN.
They'll give him that in Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know where these numbers come from anymore and how much money anyone actually makes anymore. Like, Cam got signed a $12 million deal, but they only paid him like $1.5 or something.
I thought he made $1.2.
Last year, and then they gave him $3 million this year, which I think they have to pay him $3 million. But they were like with incentives that, like, if you throw the ball into somebody's hands, you get like $100. Yeah. And he made $0. So
he's fucking hungry, but good thing he's a vegan.
I like Cam. I don't want to talk bad about him. I hated that stupid fucking video he did with his dad, like in the middle of a field, like it was a fucking like.
Don't doubt me.
I don't know what that was. Like, Cam, I love you, buddy, but like, look, I'm not mad. He came here, gave us 100% of Cam Newton, everything that he had. He was a fucking professional, the fucking a great citizen, a great everything, a great player. He did his best. He fucking tried to win games by himself a lot. And, you know, it didn't work out.
The team didn't do many favors.
He didn't have shit.
They got hurt. For the receivers. Offensive line was
Edelman
terrible.
Was the best player on the team, and he got hurt.
They couldn't snap the ball for like 3 weeks last year. They had some issues last year. Which, I mean, Andrews coming back. Another huge issue.
I know, out of nowhere. Everyone was like, he's gone. They signed Ted Karras, and I was like, oh, he's the center now. And then fucking, they were like, ah, fuck it. And David Andrews, too. And I was like, this is crazy.
I mean, he had blood clots. He was like, it wasn't like a matter of if he was coming back. It was a matter of if he could live, like if he was going to survive.
That wasn't last year, was it?
That was last year. He didn't play.
Andrews didn't play last year? I thought it was 2 years ago.
No, last year.
He didn't play. He got hurt the year before with his foot or something. And last year, he had blood clots.
I could have sworn that was 2 years ago and he played last year. Maybe I'm wrong. Who was a center last year?
Tooney had to snap for a little bit, but it was, I don't even remember. It was some awful. He was real bad. They moved.
Bad,
it was a couple
bad
guys.
Of the sport.
I don't remember that. I think you guys are lying to me. I think that if I had any fucking memory whatsoever right now, I would call you out on it. But,
I'm looking.
But honestly, the line across the board, we had a rookie who came up out of nowhere to play right
on guard. Onwenu was stud.
And he's a
another sixth round gem from Belichick.
The size just of a truck.
Plug him into left guard, and it's like, oh yeah, we lost Tooney, but they, it's like we have this other guy who's amazing.
They did. They lost their best lineman and then upgraded the offensive line.
Isaiah Wynn looks good.
Yeah.
Shaq Mason is he's just been solid for a decade.
Shaq
now.
Mason's been a solid mainstay at right guard. David Andrews is a stud at center. And of course, Trent Brown is a stud. I don't know why you wouldn't play him at left tackle, but whatever.
Wynn is better.
And Trent Brown?
Wynn is better than Trent Brown is right now. Trent Brown's a little bigger. He's a little slower. He can't move as well.
Trent Brown was a murderer 2 years ago when he played for the Patriots. When they won the Super Bowl.
3 years ago.
Yeah, 2018. He played left tackle and was, I don't know if he gave up a sack all year. He was a road grader, as they say.
You know how fast a man ages when he's 390 pounds?
He looks great. He's nimble.
6'9".
He's nimble. Whatever. He played right tackle. They all had a problem. I mean, fucking Wynn had a hold. Trent Brown got hurt. Mason got blown by a few times. A lot of them had a fucking bad. The offensive line didn't play well at all.
They played bad.
I mean, they ran the ball well.
At the start. I mean, yeah, they ran the ball okay, but I don't think that the Dolphins have a very good interior D-line, and they lost their best D-lineman, Raekwon, whatever. Raekwon the chef. And then who's their linebacker? Landon Roberts? I don't even know who else they have.
I have some over-unders for you and a few guys.
Ooh.
Over-under. Now, this one doesn't even seem right. 825 yards for
N'Keal?
Damian Harris on the year.
Oh, God, that's an over. All day over. I'm telling you, if you watch a 2001 Patriots game, they would hand off to Antoine Smith 700 times a game if they could.
But does this fumble do anything? Or are they just going to be like, all right, fuck it. Now we're
no, where else are they going to go?
They don't have a choice.
Yeah, it's no. That people today.
James White, bro. They kept handing to James White. But no,
that's a mistake.
It kept making me so mad.
Never, ever. Hand off to James White.
Here's how you knew they were in trouble.
It's like fourth and one, and it's a trick play.
They gave Brandon Bolden a carry on that last drive in the fourth quarter.
Did they?
They sure did.
Bolden got a carry. It was the carry before Sony fumbled. Bolden ran for like 7 yards.
I don't like that one.
That's not good.
No, I mean, look, I like Bolden. He embarrassed the Patriots like 3 years ago. That the Miami Miracle game.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was bullshit.
People forget that. But
I mean, it's not like. He should not be running the ball at the end in the fourth quarter.
Well,
Raymondre's
a rookie. He fumbled, even though it wasn't a real fumble.
He'll be inactive next week.
He'll be inactive next week. The JJ will be up. But like the same people, if you look on Twitter, that were saying that Sony Michel is the worst running back in the world, and he wasn't worth a first round pick. He wasn't even worth a fucking seventh round pick. A bust. Anybody could have done what he did. Are fucking smashing Belichick for trading Sony Michel right now. If you look on Twitter and look anywhere, I guarantee if you search somebody's tweets, anybody that says that Belichick's an idiot for trading Sony Michel, check that guy's tweets. And 2 weeks ago, he was saying how bad Sony Michel is.
You know what's funny is if you look, they always do like the, oh, Chubb was drafted after Sony and AJ Brown was drafted after Harry.
Yeah, exactly.
look at the two guys drafted in front of them. Yeah. Like the running back drafted in front of him, I don't even know his name.
In front
the
of Sony?
Receiver drafted in front
yeah,
of.
Yeah, didn't the Seahawks draft Rashawn Penny or something?
It was Rashawn Penny, yeah, out of what, Iowa?
Has he ever played? I don't even know if he's ever played.
He's not good.
I play fantasy football enough to know that he's not the running back for Seattle.
And Washington drafted a receiver that doesn't play, that you wouldn't know his name either. Yet, for some reason, Harry is like a household name across
well, I think that a lot of it has to do with, like, the minute you're a first-round pick, the Patriots fans, and especially Boston sports radio, the minute you're a first-round pick, they want Belichick to take a first-round weapon every time, right? It's got to be a weapon. It's got to be a weapon. I'm actually surprised. It was because they hated Cam so much, probably, that they're not smashing Mac Jones right now relentlessly. But the minute they had Sony Michel, first-round running back, they just all they wanted to do was him to be a failure. Same thing with N'Keal Harry. They're unrelenting. And they'd just be punishing him online on fucking writing stories.
The Patriots should have traded up yeah. to get Mac if they really wanted him.
That's a fucking unbelievable
take.
That is
probably the best take of all time.
The mental gymnastics that one takes.
All right, so if he really wanted him, we would trade up. But they got him and they didn't trade up.
Exactly. You could have got him at 15. The opposite would have been happened. You traded up to fucking 10 to get him. You could have had him at 15. Nobody wanted him. Oh, you wasted a fucking third round pick next year. Fucking some
my
bullshit.
My new favorite one is that the 49ers were trading up to get Mac, but for some reason they took Lance.
That was a new one. They thought the Patriots would take Mac, so they traded up to 3 but took Trey Lance, which is nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense. If they were scared that the Patriots were going to take Mac, they would have took Mac. Not Trey Lance.
I don't even understand. And then yeah,
it's just a way because the Patriots are the most taught. It doesn't even matter if they're good anymore. It's just because of Belichick. They're always going to be the most talked about NFL team. Him and whatever team Brady's on. But even I feel like nobody talks about the Bucks, and I don't think I don't know if that's a Boston thing or whatever. And I don't watch ESPN. Maybe they talk about him constantly, but I just feel like the Patriots just always have more drama, more shit going on. I mean, last year they signed Cam. That was a thing.
It's the the disdain for the media that I think they just it hurts them to the core because their job is like
yeah
it's not really important.
No.
Like especially nowadays where everyone just tweets and everything and you can just get everyone.
Yeah, Twitter is the news now.
Yeah, you don't have to be in the locker room and everyone's like, "Well, how are you supposed to cover a team?" And they're losing it. It's like, yeah, things evolve. And guess what? You're not. Your job isn't that important.
No, like you don't have to be in the locker room asking the hard hitting questions. No, they literally should let me interview people because it would be awful for most people. But I would ask fan questions. Like I wouldn't ask stuff like Ben Volen just wants to know if everybody's vaccinated. I would be asking nothing but Patriots. Why? So in the 2007 Super Bowl, I'd be going back 20 years on Belichick, and he'd be giving me nothing, and it wouldn't matter. I would just be so happy to be sick. I'd take over the room, I'd ask so many questions. So if Tom is sick, was he really hurt with all those times you had his arm on the injury report? I just ask this nonsense questions that nobody would care about besides me and my probably. That's probably it. Just me.
They act like they're boots on the ground in Kabul.
Yeah, they really
like,
do.
It's like, no, it's not that big of a deal.
They're literally standing next to a swinging dick guy that just came out of the shower to ask him if he thought he got enough playing time.
You get floor seats to the best event that everyone watches and get paid for it. It's like, it's not that hard of
a
job.
And you write a five-paragraph essay in the fucking Athletic and tell us that Belichick can't get it done. Belichick, the GM, is killing Belichick, the coach.
Evan Lazar, whoever that guy is, that guy's a bum. I hope you're listening. You're a bum.
He's like a Twitter scout. You know how these guys, they start out, they become Twitter scouts, and then they get picked up by some, outside the world, outside the real sports media, like just some random letters, like, oh, yeah, I'm over there, I'm working over there at WXLT. And you'd be like, what the fuck is that? Is that a radio station? But no, it's we're over in Framingham. You'd be like, what is that? Well, I don't know what the fuck that is. And then they'll post whatever. They post a video and think something and they'll be wrong. And, you know,
it's like the
not
guy,
that I know everything about anything.
The Raiders have their GM is the guy who used to be like the NFL Network Combine like scout guy.
I think I tweeted that the other day. That they made inactive yesterday. It was Monday Night Football. Their fourth overall pick 2 years ago was Cleveland Farrell, who was, I think he was supposed to be like a first-round pick or a second-round pick, but they took him because he was pretty good at Clemson, but he was like not dominant. They were like, he's a pretty good D lineman, and they took him number 4 overall when there was like 40 better D linemen than him. And I was like, this fucking guy, I swear to God, he hasn't made a correct move since he was there, and it's because he is he's like what a sports radio host is.
Exactly.
He's a combine, but it kind of works for the Raiders because that's what the Raiders always did, is like whatever the combine was, if you're the combine color commentator, which is what Mike Mayock was, he was the color commentator to the fucking combine. He's like, here's a guy who runs a 40 and a 4.2 flat, and then, okay, I mean, he goes out and just drafts based on that. I don't think he does anything to do with his team. He makes terrible moves. He drafted Hunter Renfrow. That might be his best success.
He got rid of Khalil Mack immediately. Upon arrival, got rid of Khalil Mack.
Which, all these guys in the lead are guys who, you know, their dream obviously was, you know, they knew they probably, because they're kind of smart, they knew they weren't ever going to be good enough to play. So they're like, all right, well, maybe I could be the GM. And it's like, oh, no, you can't be the GM
either. Takes too much work because you have to be like, you work your way up through the ranks for 20 years.
So now we'll just let you talk about the GM. That's the best you're going to do.
Basically, pretend you're a scout, pretend you're a GM, and then put it on Twitter with videos of you talking over it.
And the entire time refuse that they might be better at their job than you think you would be at
their
job. The
best Twitter scout last year, he blocked me. I brought it up on the podcast last year. I literally tried to save his life. Not even joking. He had like a suicidal tweet. It was like, bye, everyone. Everyone hates me. And I only had a connection to this guy because he went to Syracuse. Not because I knew him, but he was like a Cuse guy. So I was like, he's like 10, 15 years younger.
Those guys are rare on Twitter. There's not too many Cuse football guys just going
in. He didn't play football.
On the trenches.
But whatever. I think he interned there, and then he's like trying to get into like the football world. And he had some like manic episode. And I was like, oh, man, if somebody knows what this guy is, like, check it out. He like deactivated his account and all this shit. And I'm not even joking. Like, his girlfriend reached out to me and was like, oh my God, we can't find him. If you hear anything about him, I was like, why would I ever hear anything about him? All I know of him is from like the 6 tweets we've interacted with. And she was like, oh, we've only been dating a little. I thought they were like fucking almost married. This kid was having like a manic depressive breakdown over something. And I was like, this fuck, he's lost his mind. Like literally over that girl, I think. And, he was like trying to get help through me. I'm like, I'm out of it. I put it on Twitter. I was like, if you guys know where he is, help him. So he doesn't blow his brains out. He came back to Twitter like a month later and DM'd me. He was like, I think that we've had some nice, respectful conversations. Because I responded to his tweet that he said that he'd rather have Cam Newton than Tom Brady in their primes. And I was like, that's stupid. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I understand you were just crazy and like probably in a hospital, but like that's the stupidest shit ever.
Also,
he wrote to me, he was like, that's kind of disrespectful. We usually have good conversations, and he blocked me and never talked to me again. But that was like, I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, if you want to be in the game, now you're in the game.
But, you know, when is
shout
Tom
out
Brady's...
to Omar, who's dead now, RIP.
Oh, that was a tough one.
Yeah, it was a tough L. That wasn't even, that wasn't Omar, but that was a wire quote. But we do have to respect Michael K. Williams, RIP, and Norm MacDonald, who, by the way, we should talk about, like, the fact that Twitter alerted me in an instant that Norm MacDonald died, whereas in fucking 20 years ago on stupid newspaper men would have to tell me next Thursday that he was dead. That is the news. The news is Twitter. Get over it.
I love it.
Poor Norm MacDonald.
That was a hard one.
I think that like the overload of YouTube videos that were being watched last night must have been absurd. Of Norm MacDonald, like the moth joke and all that shit. I watched the video of him on The View in like 2000. Did you see that one?
That one's a classic.
I never saw that one before. It was so good. So fucking awkward. It's like star jump. Like that was back when I think they were still trying to be like, I don't know, like a political discussion show. He was calling Bill Clinton a murderer on TV. He's like, well, we got to get the murderers out of the house.
Relax,
out of the White House.
Little Rock, that's the pride and joy of Arkansas right there. Hot Springs, Arkansas. Bill Clinton.
Ridiculous is fantastic. If you ever see, it's all, he did like a, his first album was just sketches. And he has one where.
I thought you were talking about the TV show that Rob Dyrdek. I was like, I'm never going to watch that. No, isn't that Tosh.0?
And he has a sketch where him and Artie Lang are in, they're like music producers, and they bring back like an old timey, like,
it's a CD or a video.
It's on Spotify. It's like an album.
Oh, really?
It's just all sketches. He has him. He's in the booth, and one of the games he's recording. He's like the color commentator, but he has a shit ton of money on the game. So he's like trying to talk about the game and just talk about the spread the whole time.
He's so funny. The movie Dirty Work is maybe the most underrated piece of comedy in history. I didn't even realize it was like based on like a fucking Shakespeare play or something. Oh no, a Roald Dahl story, like a short story. That's what it was named. That was what it was named after.
The fact that he won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and got every single question right on the celebrity, like, it was incredible. He even had the last answer and was like, Regis is like, whoa, you don't want to risk this. Like, if you get this wrong, you're back to 30,000. He's like, well, it's definitely this. And he's like, all right, whatever, I'll take the 500,000. And he had the answer right.
I was watching the one today when he was on Larry King, and he just said that he was a deeply closeted homosexual, but he was not going to come out. And then Larry couldn't figure it out. He was like, so you're gay? You're saying you're gay? I mean, that closeted means you're a gay man. He's like, no, I'm not.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Why would you say that, buddy?
You
don't
talk about that, bud. So anyway, I'm psyched about the new season. I can't get upset about a week one loss to Miami, which is typical. I mean, we're going to go play the Jets.
Would you take Damian Harris at 40-1 to get the rushing title this year?
I think we lost KP. Did we lose you? Yeah, we bumped. I think it bumped him. All right. Well, he's gone. Hate to see it.
Damian Harris, 40-1 to win the rushing title. I think that's a good bet.
40-1?
40-1. So if you bet $100,
I bet anything on 40-1.
I mean, I don't know who's going to win the rushing title this year. It's going to be him.
I mean, there's not very many good running backs.
Jonathan
anymore.
Taylor, because I don't think
Jonathan Taylor
Christian
Thomas.
McCaffrey. That's it. So
he gets the ball thrown to him too much.
It's not going to be like Zeke or.
What did he get? 3 carries week one.
He's like that bum. Derrick Henry. It's not going to be maybe Dalvin Cook, but I think Damian Harris is going to be.
Who had the most yards in week one?
The guy from San Francisco.
The new guy?
Backup.
Oh, okay.
I think Damian Harris is going to get
He'll
25
be close.
Carries a game. And with his offensive line.
He could easily do it. That's not a bad bet. I can't gamble, but like.
I don't know who else he'd really put in there. I mean, and the other one is,
Packers
win the AFC East at, I think they're 4-1.
Take that too. I think it's gonna be tough to beat Buffalo, but anybody can do it. They can do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Pats are in a good spot. I think they have pretty good depth.
I'm really excited to see
the offensive line.
I'm really excited to see this pass rush develop over the week. You know, the weeks, especially when Gilmore comes back and they bring Ronnie Perkins back. I mean, I didn't even know if I saw Winovich play.
Winovich played a couple snaps, but yeah. I fucking hate that guy.
Why? I don't hate him. He plays well when he's in there.
Did you ever hear him talk?
Yeah, he's a weird kind of guy.
He's Chase had a good game, but like Chase really needs to like.
Wait, call he does in the third person, really?
All the time.
Does he really?
He's strange.
Jimmy from Seinfeld? He is definitely strange, but obviously he's good at football.
He's not that good at football. He got a couple sacks last year. He's not.
He had 5. I said he's a quintessential Patriot. He's going to set the edge, and he's going to get 6 sacks a year. Winovich.
He doesn't want the first thing about setting the edge.
He sets the edge, babe.
That
he
guy
sets the edge.
That was insulting to the edge. No. Any edge setter does
everything.
The
only thing. Listen, the only thing I think about is the edge. And I'm telling you, he sets it.
Winovich does not know where the edge is.
Yeah, he knows. He knows. That's Judon joke. Sets an edge.
Judon sets a nice edge.
Judon is the edge. He lives on the edge.
Judon, yeah.
You know, I used to love that guy that they had that was great. That's all he wanted to do was be a team player and set the edge, and then he just fucking didn't want to set the edge anymore last year.
Simon.
John Simon,
Simon
yeah.
Simon was
2 years ago, I was like, this guy, I loved him because he was like, that's it. I'm here for the team. I'm going to set that edge. That's my job. And all he did was set the edge. And then last year was like, nah. Fuck it. Done with it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Hated the edge.
He was bad last year.
Yeah. And then,
he feels like a steroid guy.
He could have been a steroid guy.
Like, all of a sudden, 1 year, you're all of a sudden just good, and then you're just not.
I bet you Winovich was a steroid guy in high school.
He looks
tiny.
Oh, yeah.
He's got high school steroid face, if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, he's definitely, like, have sex. Like, when he has sex, there's, like, mirrors all around. He's just looking at himself.
Yeah. Gronkowski was a high school steroid guy. Had to be.
Definitely. With those brothers, too.
They were definitely fucking juicing. I bet the dad gave it to him. They're like the Everett football coach or PB football coaches would just fire it into their fucking fullback. Like, you take this, you're not going to be able to beat Saugus by 70.
So how many wins are you giving the team this year?
12. 12 wins and a wild card.
I'm at 12. I think they win the division with 12.
Maybe. You never know. I mean, you never know how the cookie crumbles, they say. Josh Allen can get hurt.
They also they won the division last year, so they're going to have to play the Chiefs. They're going to have to play all those good teams.
Yeah, and they already lost to the Steelers.
They're going to have to play the Browns.
Browns. We have to play a lot of those teams, too. We have to play the Browns. We have to play the Cowboys, the Bucks. We have a lot of tough games. Saints. I mean, I know we're playing a second-place or a third-place schedule, but the divisions we're still playing the NFC South, which is, I mean, the Saints are pretty good. The Bucks obviously are great.
Carolina's not good.
Carolina's not great, but they just beat the Jets by a good amount. And then, and who's the other one? Falcons. They stink.
Oh, they're bad.
And then they're playing the AFC. What are they playing? AFC South. Colts are pretty good. Titans
Colts
are pretty
good. Colts are not good. Colts stink.
Yeah, they could be good.
The Titans are bad.
You're saying that now, but they were like these are like playoff teams a year ago. This
the Colts
is week
are bad.
One.
Colts are bad.
Jaguars stink. I'll give you that one.
That's going to be a division where you can win that division.
And Houston fucking just blew out whoever they played.
The Jacksonville.
Okay, that doesn't really count. But I thought
those teams aren't
But great. I thought Houston was going to be absolutely terrible. Zero wins.
The Titans got embarrassed by Arizona. And yeah. Seattle blew the doors off the Colts. Carson Wentz is, I mean, Belichick's never going to lose to a Carson Wentz team.
I don't
that
know.
Guy is like.
You never know. Carson Wentz. Was like the MVP 3 years ago.
Yeah, because he can make like the perfect throws, but he's that guy where it's like, perfect throw. Oh, you didn't see that obvious coverage interception? Like,
yeah.
Because they like him. Like, he definitely has an arm. He definitely can fire football.
And he can run around. They just didn't like him in Philly because he was a hunter. And he was like a little too much of a Jesus boy, I think. And then, the minute they won with Nick Foles, they were like, fuck this guy. He cares about him.
I think the Pats are, they have a, decently easy schedule. They got the Jets twice. Jets are clearly rebuilding.
Yeah, but I thought they were going to beat the Dolphins at home.
I thought they were going to beat the Dolphins at home, which makes me think they're going to beat them the second time. And I think they're going to split with the Bills, too. So
I'd love to beat the Bills both ways. You have to be vaccinated now to go into Buffalo Stadium, and I don't think they have many Bills Mafia are fucking vaccinated. You have to show a vaccination card.
That could be a storm the stadium situation.
Yeah, it definitely would. Be dildos flying left and right. Can you imagine? I mean, can't even believe that Kraft didn't do that. I mean, I think that's a New York State thing because you have to do it at the Syracuse games too. I was like, I'm just not going. I would just not go. It seems like horrendous. I had COVID. No. Waiting for them to check your vaccine card?
No, I went to the BC game. They did it. It was
a BC football game?
It was a whole thing. I went with my great uncle, and we missed the whole thing. The only reason we really went was to see the band march by before the thing
Good.
Into the stadium.
I went to
we missed it.
Last time I went to a BC game, we had a styrofoam cooler on a sidewalk outside. I was like, this is my friend who's an Army Ranger used to do he ran battalions in Iraq and Afghanistan, like of hundreds of people. Jeez. And he was like, here we are. I was like, what the fuck is this? He brought me to a sidewalk outside the stadium with a styrofoam cooler and six beers and nothing to eat. And I was like, what is everyone that you led dead? Because what have you brought me to?
I'll tell you though, like, it was the first time I felt like really kind of felt old because I was like, oh, these guys are hot. And I'm like, yeah, but they're definitely way too young. And then I'm like, well, no, they're in college. But I'm like, yeah, that is. I was like fighting my head. I'm like,
I'm
what
two
the fuck
times
is going?
College age.
I was like, yeah, I it's can't. Right. This is weird, but it's. But I was like, oh, I guess
they're like 20. You're well, they're at minimum they're 17. You know, mostly probably 18, and you're what 34, 3?
31.
Oh, jeez. Jesus! No, well, it's still old.
I mean. It's definitely old. It's too old to like be like, oh, this
it's definitely too old.
It was weird. I was like, oh, these guys, and I was like, no, they're not. They're like super young. You're just,
yeah,
all
it looks weird. I mean, you know, how you look like in a yearbook of like the 85, like an 85 yearbook, and be like, why are these guys so old? Okay. And then you just like, you just felt like you were a baby. And then you're looking at college kids now and be like, what the fuck? They look like children. Like,
yeah.
Like,
and growing up, you're always like, oh, wow, college kids.
College girls are so good looking. I can't wait to get to college. And then you get 5 years past college, you're like, ugh. Kind of feels like they're preschoolers.
I don't think I should be around you.
Exactly. I need 6 feet of distance max, you know, minimum. Otherwise,
I started looking at my grill. He's like 80 something. I'm like, You've been just coming to these games for decades? Like, what is going on here?
They're so boring. That stadium is fucking stinks, too.
Yeah, we got out of there at halftime, thank God.
I just, when I drove there, I hopped the curb and just parked in some random parking lot. I was like, I'm not fucking, do you think I'm going to pay to go to a BC game?
I actually didn't have a ticket. So I walked right in with the band. Like, there were just kids walking around. Like, the
wearing
band was getting
one of
ready.
Those top hats.
And I had to go across. They didn't check tickets.
I'm with the band, like you're fucking Aussie's roadie.
It again proves my point that terrorists stink. Because I didn't even need a ticket to walk into a game that was on national
television. That might be a security issue. I don't know if that's a terrorist thing.
Well, if you're a terrorist, right. Like you would try some shit. Like, think outside the box.
I don't think anybody wants to blow up a BC game. They want to try and kill more than 800 people, don't they?
You don't think if a terrorist brought a gun into a stadium that had national television, that wouldn't be like a pretty significant thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I think terrorists have been obsessed with that dirty bomb plot. They're like, they're going to get a dirty bomb.
Remember what a dirty bomb is, but I remember the term. What was it?
I don't know what a dirty bomb is. I think it's just...
You're just talking out of your ass.
It's just when a terrorist has a bomb, they call it a dirty bomb.
I don't think
they're like, they're going to get a dirty bomb, and they're going to blow it up in a major city.
I picture a dirty bomb is that bomb that Tom Hanks makes it's Sticky Bomb. and Saving Private Ryan, and they make a sticky bomb out of a sock and throw it on the tank.
Yeah, and it's like they've just been obsessing over this dirty bomb, and it's like it's not working. You guys are not great.
I remember some early... I mean, I was in college right after 9/11, and I was like, I just remember all that shit happening, like the Patriot Act, all that shit. And then, whatever. So I just remember dirty bomb talk and all that shit, but I don't know what it is because I paid zero attention to it.
I don't know what it is, but I think they've been focusing on that way too much.
Yeah, a lot of dirty bomb talk, shoe bombs. Stuff like that. Anyway, we went long, 115, but it was a good to get back in the game. It felt good to be back.
Feels nice. Pats minus -5 this week.
Ooh, I love them. I love the Pats this week. I also love the Pats last week at -3, but this is on the road. Max Jones' first game on the road against another rookie in New York. It'll be exciting. I think
if the Pats go 0-2,
they're in trouble. Because then they got Saints, Bucks. They could easily go 0-4 real quick. You know what I mean? But I like the Pats to beat the Jets.
This is a big game.
It is. It's bigger than people think. Because
then you're going to start hearing Mac Jones pressure talk. Like, is there pressure for him to, well, what is he? Like,
what I'm looking for out of him is I got to see that clutch gene.
I got to see the clutch gene.
You can't be my quarterback if you don't get the clutch gene. I need the clutch gene. I'd like to see him come from behind. We'll see. I don't want him to come from behind against the Jets. I like him to beat the Jets. The Dolphins' defense is much better than the Jets' defense.
I want him to see what they did last week. Just run the ball a ton.
And pick your spots and fire it.
Yeah.
So I like Patriots this week, and I like them big, baby. I like them 34-14. I think that a lot of stuff gets cleaned up. Sacks are going to be up. Mekhi Becton is out. If that's how you say his name. Their best offensive lineman. Their offensive line looked like garbage last week. So I expect Josh Uche and Judon to eat this week. I think if I'm going to make a prediction, I'm going to say Jonnu Smith, 2 TDs.
I have a 29-12, and last thing I'll give out is 100 catches on the year for Jacoby Myers.
Oh, yeah. How many did he have last game? 8?
5 or 6.
Oh, and KP texted me in. He said 35-17 Pats, 2 touchdowns for Henry.
Ooh.
So he's going on the other side. Henry seems to be a little bit of an afterthought, but he's a stud. So anyway, Sauger Sachem started out 0-1. Lost to the far superior Linfield, apparently.
Oh, there was a big scuttlebutt.
A town with 30 kids in it beating us now.
It's a shame.
It's really fallen downhill since my days of going 1-10. Anyway, let's go Pats. You got anything?
That's it.
All right, I love it.
Do your job. All right, don't try to make too much out of it. Just do your job. 7-8 months ago, right? All for this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game, your honor. Your kids are honored. Your family's honored.
Stack receivers, 2 to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the 1. Malcolm Butler.
And Warner goes back to throw. And here's the blitz by snap, ball down, kick up. Kick is on the way, and it is good!
I love you. I love you. You worked your ass off.
You're the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.